We begin my favorite month of October here with a hybrid stream. We are back for another super stream covering Rampage and SmackDown, not in that order. I am the Solemn Monster. It is Friday night, October 1st, 2021. What is going on, guys? Outside of the draft stuff, SmackDown was a completely missable show, and I actually can't believe I'm about to say this, but it is the truth. Now that I have seen both shows this week, Raw was better than SmackDown. Monday Night Raw, I enjoyed Monday Night Raw more than I enjoyed SmackDown this week. I can't even tell you the last time that that happened. You're actually going to get some positive Raw thoughts from me this weekend. But I thought SmackDown, you know, compared to most weeks, was a very disappointing show. After night one of the WWE draft, SmackDown is still the A show, mainly because they still have Roman Reigns. So we have a lot of draft moves to talk about, but Rampage had the best match of the night between Bryan Danielson and Nick Jackson as Danielson begins to claw through the various members of the Elite as he attempts to get a championship match with Kenny Omega. And in announcing the participants in next week's casino ladder match that they are doing on Dynamite in Philadelphia on Wednesday, a most questionable decision on AEW's part, as one of the men they have announced for that ladder match next week is Matt Hardy. And when they made that announcement at the end of the show that they have added Orange Cassidy, you know, which I can understand, and Matt Hardy, I just thought to myself, why? Matt Hardy does not need to be in that ladder match. Like I said, a very questionable decision on AEW's part. So we're going to cover it all. Fun little announcement here I made on social media earlier today. The brand new 14-year anniversary t-shirt is now out on Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/SolemnMonsterSoundsOff. And there it is. Next month is the 14-year anniversary of the Sound Off. 14 years. And each year we get up a different t-shirt celebrating. So I thought this would be appropriate. It is available right now in black and white. And if that is of interest to you, the place to go is prowrestlingtees.com/SolemnMonsterSoundsOff. You'll see a link in the description down below. And I thank all of you who have already picked up your shirt earlier today. It means a lot. So let's start with SmackDown. I know a lot of the folks here usually are here for the Rampage recap. We will get to that, I promise you, here in a few minutes. But we're going to kick things off first with WWE because that came first. And tonight was draft night on SmackDown. Now, the rules of the draft are as follows. I'm sure these rules were drafted about 2 hours before the show. Half the roster was eligible tonight, with the other half eligible on Raw this Monday in Nashville, and that includes members of the NXT brand. So while nobody is being drafted to NXT, they are wisely, I mean, maybe not for the people who are drafted, we'll see how that shakes out, but it is smart to get some fresh faces and new names into Raw, into SmackDown. Otherwise, all you're doing, you're just moving the pieces around. It's one thing to move the pieces around, but you also want to add some new pieces to the puzzle. And that's what they did tonight, and I assume they'll do more of that on Monday. So these changes do not officially go into effect for another 3 weeks. So the Crown Jewel show is on October 21st. Officially, the draft changes will take effect on Friday night, October 22nd. So the SmackDown show that night is when these changes officially take effect. And talents that go undrafted will become free agents who are allowed to sign with any brand they wish. Brock Lesnar was there tonight. He made it very clear that he is a free agent. He is making himself a free agent because Brock Lesnar, as he says, goes where he wants and does what he wants when he wants, which is true. That's a shoot. So those are the rules of the draft. As if any of this even matters. Adam Pearce, and let's pretend it does, right? It's a little more fun that way. Let's pretend that WWE actually gives a shit and actually puts some forethought more than a day or two into this draft. I assume they did because USA Network and Fox obviously care about the makeup of the rosters. We've heard stories about that before. They do care. They do pay attention to this kind of stuff. If Roman Reigns left SmackDown and left Fox and went to USA, you don't think the Fox executives might have something to say about that? So it does matter to them. They do pay attention to this kind of stuff. And when they make these moves, they have to keep that in mind. They have to keep in mind that the networks may want certain people on certain brands, and they have to juggle that, because each network obviously wants the best people. So how do you keep them both happy? That's the challenge. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville were out on stage at the beginning of the show to announce the first pick of the very first round. You can guess who it was. The Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, the man, the biggest star in the entire company, rightfully goes first in the draft. He is going to stay right where he is on SmackDown as all the Fox executives rejoice and high-five each other in the war room, I'm sure. Monday Night Raw, for its first pick, selects the WWE Champion, Big E. So I like the fact that your top champions went first and second. That's the way it should be. Unlike the Intercontinental and United States champions, your two secondary champions, who they may say, well, you know, they're going to be eligible in the second pool on Monday. I find it odd that at least one of them were not eligible tonight, and neither when drafted. Because I guess who the hell cares, right, about the Intercontinental or the U.S. titles? The third pick was, again, not surprisingly, Charlotte Flair, the Raw Women's Champion, now on SmackDown. So the Raw Women's Champion goes to the blue brand. And the fourth pick of the first round was Bianca Belair going to Monday Night Raw. You pretty much knew, I think, that the top champions were going to stay, for the men, were going to stay pretty much where they were. Roman Reigns is the top star in the company. So I never paid any thought to the idea that he was going to leave SmackDown and go to Raw. Honestly, for a lot of the reasons I just mentioned. I cannot imagine that Fox would have been happy to see Roman Reigns go from SmackDown to Raw. But they swapped Charlotte with Bianca. Truth be told, Charlotte needs new people to work with, right? She just vanquished Alexa Bliss, who's going to be gone for a little while now. We saw her in Rhea Ripley. We saw her in Nikki Ash. Her and Asuka, whenever Asuka's ready to come back, we've seen that a gajillion times. So a change of scenery is not such a bad move for her. We just don't know yet how they're going to handle the title situation. And my fear is that we end up getting a situation like we had a year ago, where the New Day and the Street Profits swap brand. I think it was last year, where they swap brands and swap belts. They swap belts like they were candy. Here, I'll trade you this for this. You got a sour patch? Oh, good, I got some sour straws, and then I got a ring pop, and they're a Tootsie Roll, and they're just exchanging candy. Red for blue, blue for red. It's lame. And I hope they don't do that again. Here, you get the blue belt, I'll get the red belt. I don't want to see that. But they could handle it that way. Charlotte still has 3 weeks to drop the championship. One suggestion that I made on Twitter during the show, once I saw that she was drafted, I said, 3 weeks left, plenty of time for her to drop the belt, which I'm sure they don't mind, because when she goes to SmackDown, she'll end up winning the belt again soon anyway, and then they can say she's a 14-time champion, and eventually she'll break her father's record, because it's going to be her breaking the record, not John Cena. But I said, you know, with the time you have left for her to drop that title, why not have her drop it to Shayna the Destroyer? Look at what they have done the last 2 weeks on television with Shayna Baszler. We have seen the Shayna Baszler that we saw in NXT. We saw Shayna Baszler, the killer, come out and break Nia Jax's arm. And we saw her come out this week, and do the same exact thing to Eva Marie. All of the acts, frankly, that have no business being on television, Shayna Baszler is going out there and taking them off of television. Nia Jax has no business being on TV, neither does Eva Marie being in the ring. So thank you, Shayna. I like this new Shayna Baszler. If anything, it might get her over as a babyface. Although long term, I don't see her as a babyface. I think she's better as a heel. But you want to really get Shayna Baszler over on Charlotte's way out, why not have her win the championship? It's an idea. It's a way to get the title off of her and put it on somebody else who you're starting to really push. What better way? to seal the deal with Shayna Baszler by having her win the Raw Women's title and get a win over Charlotte Flair. That's one idea. It depends on how things go at Crown Jewel, because earlier today they made a new match announcement. Now that the women can wrestle in Saudi Arabia, although I'm sure they'll be dressed from head to toe, they're going to be wearing t-shirts and wristbands and God knows what else. But it's sweet Saudi money in a few weeks. It's going to be Becky Lynch defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks in a triple threat match. We have to see how things play out there. There could be a title change in that match. Maybe Bianca wins the title and takes that title to Raw. And they do end up swapping the two belts. So we just don't know how that whole thing is going to play out. I like the Shayna idea, but that's just one way they could go. But for the time being, and I don't think this is going to last, but as we sit here now, all four horsewomen are on SmackDown. Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley are currently all on SmackDown, and you know that that is not going to last. It will last. It will last all of the next 48 hours, 48 to 72 hours. That's about it. I don't see that going on for much longer. With the Bianca move going to Raw, that tells me that on Monday we're likely going to have the Street Profits moving from SmackDown to Raw. We've seen the Street Profits have a lot of great matches recently on TV against the Usos. They've lost all of those matches. So where do they go from here? Again, like Charlotte, I think they could benefit from a change in scenery. Frankly, I think WWE would benefit from just merging the rosters. I mean, the tag team division, I've talked about that before, and I stopped because they're not going to fucking do it, so what's the point? But I don't think the tag division is strong enough on its own on either show for any kind of real long-term storytelling. You know, as far as they could call up new teams, I guess, from NXT, but I think if you unite them, you fuse the two rosters together. And like the women's tag team belts, you work it the same way where you can have floating champions. I personally just think it's a better idea. That's what I think. But they have RK-Bro on one show. They have the Usos on another. I think the Street Profits go to Raw because Bianca's on Raw. And I think they will try. They will take pains not to break up, you know, any couples that they don't have to. Not that they haven't done that before. I would think that, you know, Bianca and Montez Ford probably want to be on the same show. And that would be my guess, is that the Street Profits end up on Raw this Monday. So we had Roman Reigns out at the beginning of the show with Paul Heyman on day number 397 for the Tribal Chief as the Universal Champion, or as Paul Heyman would say, the Universal Heavyweight Champion of the World. So they gloated about the Demon no longer being undefeated. No Demon on this show. He's still licking his wounds. He might be concussed after falling face first down on the mat on Sunday night. No attempt on this show, by the way, not in this segment, not any other point on this show, did they even attempt to recognize how terrible of a finish that was and try to explain it. Paul Heyman cut the rope. Brock Lesnar snuck out there. I mean, that wouldn't make sense because Brock doesn't give a shit, but try to come up with something. Nothing. It's like it never even happened. It's going to be one of those finishes where it's like, let's just never speak of this again. You know what? It's probably for the better, because no explanation they could have possibly come up with on the show tonight would have made that finish on Sunday any better. But they didn't even try. So they were talking about the Demon, and then they moved on. And they were talking about the match in Saudi between Roman and Brock Lesnar, and that brought out the Beast himself. Brock Lesnar was in the house. When Brock Lesnar gets on a plane and travels, you know he means business. And he came out, and he got a great reaction here in whatever city they were in. I didn't write down what city they were in. We'll call them Default City. Somebody in the chat, let me know what city they were in tonight. So Brock comes down to the ring, and he goes face-to-face with Roman, and they're smiling, and Roman throws the first punch, and so these two are throwing down in the middle of the ring, and the place is going crazy. And he gets Brock down to a knee, Lesnar comes back, he hits a pair of Germans, Usos run down to help, and Brock dispatches them quickly with a pair of German suplexes. So now Brock is trying to goad Roman into the ring. Thank you. Yes, Baltimore, of course. How could I forget? Heyman called all the fans Baltimoreans in the opening segment. I knew it was somewhere in the Northeast. I just couldn't remember where. So they were in Baltimore tonight. So he's trying to goad Roman back into the ring. And he ends up giving Each Uso an F5. And he thinks better of it. Roman is teasing he might get in the ring. And he says, you know what? I ain't got time for this. And he heads to the back. Pat McAfee on commentary made it very clear that we have not seen the last of Brock Lesnar tonight. That was a message to the audience. Please do not turn the channel. Brock will be back. And he was. It was brief, but he did come back a little bit later on in the night. So I thought it was a hot opening segment. You know, anytime these two have gotten together, and it's been a couple of times now, since Brock came back at SummerSlam, has been hot. You think of the segment at Madison Square Garden, it just has a big, major feel to it. Because really, it's like what's old is new again. For as many times as we have seen these two wrestle, going back to 2015, and it's been a lot. It has always been Brock Lesnar the heel with Paul Heyman. Even if the crowd was booing Roman, he was positioned as the babyface, and Brock was the heel, and usually the champion, and Roman was chasing. So now everything has been flipped upside down. Roman is the heel with Heyman. Brock is the babyface. Brock is the one who's chasing. And it helps that Brock went away for a year and a half. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I miss the guy. Not being on TV for that long, when he came back, it felt special. So all of a sudden, even though these two have locked horns before, it feels actually kind of fresh. And the people are into it. Every city they've been to, whether it's New York, Baltimore, even in Vegas, when Brock came back, people have gone nuts. In Saudi Arabia, I would imagine they'll be going nuts for everything because they don't get very many live events. So this is the hottest program they have in the entire company right now. Kevin Owens, one-on-one against Happy Corbin. Frost in the chat says the only Baltimoreans are the Orioles. I can't sit here and make fun of them. I'm a Mets fan, so I'm not exactly one to speak. But Kevin Owens was out next, one-on-one against Happy Corbin with his new sidekick Riddick Moss, who we saw re-debut on television last week. He is now going by the name Madcap Moss. And he comes out, he's got a hat, he's wearing suspenders, he's making terrible jokes that Corbin laughs at anyway. He's constantly laughing. Apparently that's his new gimmick. This was paint-by-numbers stuff. Corbin rolled out to the floor as Owens was heading up top. So Owens followed suit. And he climbed down and he went outside. He was distracted by old Madcap. And that led to Corbin hitting the end of days on the floor. He rolled Owens back into the ring, hit another end of days, and he pinned him. 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring. Michael Cole referred to the end of days as Happy Days, because now he is Happy Corbin. So the move is no longer the end of days, because that's very bleak, and he's a happy guy. So now it's Happy Days. And I just thought, oh, good Lord. It's so cheesy, I actually like it. I actually like it. Now, I still wish that Corbin was broke and homeless. I found him more entertaining when he was, you know, begging for change on the street and just trying to get by and steal stuff, and he stole the money in the bank briefcase. But Happy Days is, it's so cheesy, it's so cornball that I actually like it. But all I could think of when this was over, Kevin Owens came across like a fucking jobber when this match was over. He came across as so inconsequential. And I've talked about how every year when there's a draft, he switches brands. He'll probably end up on Raw this Monday. Because I assume he's eligible. Well, he has to be eligible on Monday. He didn't move tonight. He may end up being one of the last people to go in the draft, which really bothered him a few years ago when he was like the last guy. Like, legitimately bothered him. Every year, he feels he's in need of a fresh start. So he bounces like a ball from Raw to SmackDown, SmackDown to Raw, back and forth, back and forth. And then I watched him here in this match, losing to Corbin, basically clean in the middle of the ring. And all I could think of is he's counting down the days. As I'm sure many of his fans are, this is a guy who has to be counting down the days to the end of his contract, which is only a few months away. He is a few months away from freedom if he wants it. The door is right there. Kevin Owens is slow crawling to the door, and the choice is his. He can elect to stay right where he is and re-sign with WWE before his deal is up. Supposedly January 31st is when his deal is up. Or the door is right there. He can break free and make a run for it and go play with his friends. The choice is his. Watching him tonight, I think the choice is obvious. This is the best they can do with Kevin Owens. So not exactly a great night for him here tonight. So we were back with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville for the next round of picks. For the next pick in the draft, I feel like they should have had Adam Silver or Gary Bettman or who's the dope from Rob Manfred from Major League Baseball out there to get booed. With the next pick in the WWE draft, SmackDown selected Drew McIntyre, which is one of the moves that I had suggested on the podcast last week. And I like it because it puts Drew on the same brand now with Roman Reigns. And after that one match they had last year at Survivor Series, which I thought was excellent, I've been waiting for the two of them to get matched up again. Actually, I think they were being advertised for the dark match tonight. So they probably wrestled when the show was over in front of the live crowd. You know, in front of all the Baltimoreans. But I like the fact that they're now back on the same brand. Because whether it's WrestleMania, and it probably isn't. I mean, if they feel they can get a bigger name for WrestleMania, then it'll be Brock or it'll be The Rock or somebody like that. But if they can't get The Rock, and if they already blow off the whole program with Lesnar, you could end up with a WrestleMania match between Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, or a Royal Rumble match. So long as we get another match, I would like to see these two work together again. And Drew was going nowhere on Raw. Drew has been doing the honors for weeks. He lost to Damian Priest. He lost to Shane. He's been losing. Clearly, he's been demoted out of the WWE title picture. The only logical move was for him to get shifted over to the SmackDown brand. That should have been one of the more obvious moves of this draft. And so he is now officially part of the SmackDown brand. Raw chose to keep their tag team champions, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. So RK-Bro stay right where they are. SmackDown chose Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Once again, I believe for the second straight draft, breaking up the New Day. As quickly as they were reunited, they have been broken up. And I guess now we kind of know why they felt the need to rush the Bloodline and the New Day on TV last week the way they did. And by the way, when they announced that the New Day had been split, the live crowd, they booed. They did not like that move at all. And finally here, we had Raw picking Edge. Raw went with Edge for the 3 months out of the year that he's actually around and on TV. They now have Edge. And, you know, Edge has already feuded with Roman Reigns. He's already feuded with Seth Rollins, who may end up moving to Raw with him. But right now, Seth is still on SmackDown. So, you know, I have no issue with that. It opens up a bunch of new opponents for him. So I think it's a smart move. But I have a question that I pose to all of you. I would like to know, because, you know, they certainly didn't bother to explain it. Would love to know how they explain breaking up the New Day. When either network, like in storyline, Fox or USA, could have just drafted all three. They talk about them ad nauseum on TV at the greatest group, the greatest team, the greatest faction in WWE history. Michael Cole said it tonight when Kofi and Xavier, when they got announced as moving from Raw to SmackDown, the greatest tag team in WWE history. That's what Michael Cole said. He said that Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods were the greatest tag team, not faction, tag team, in WWE history, which of course is complete and total bullshit, but we'll put that on the side. How is it that Fox can't just turn around and say, we want the New Day? Not like groups haven't been drafted before. There was an entire faction, in fact, that was just drafted from NXT that I'm going to get to here in a little bit. And they don't bother to explain why that is impossible. And if it is, then why the fuck would Fox or USA not just draft all three of them? Especially when the third guy is the WWE champion. They didn't bother to explain that. Speaking of Edge, he was out next. First time in 3 weeks since he got injured at Madison Square Garden by Seth Rollins and lost in the rematch. He pointed out that he is the only star on the roster who was on the very first episode of SmackDown, which is true. Very first SmackDown. Edge was on that show. He said that's probably why he's always found this show to be home. I mean, there was a period of time back in the 2006 to 2008 period where SmackDown was the Edge show. You know, Edge and Vicky. He made it his own. He got away from Triple H on that Raw brand, and he made SmackDown his own. He carried that brand on his back the way that Roman Reigns now is carrying the brand on his back. But he said he welcomes the move to Raw. He sees it as a challenge, and there's a bunch of new faces now for him to play with. So then he turned his attention to Seth Rollins, and he demanded that Rollins come to the ring because Rollins demanded that Edge be there live, and Edge was there. So where are you? Where's Seth? Well, he pops up on the Titantron, and Seth says, you know, I want you to announce your retirement. I want you to say that I'm not Edge Light. I still haven't heard you, you know, say these words. And Rollins noted, Edge showed up on SmackDown, but now I'm the one who's not there. So Edge shows up and Rollins is not there live at the building. So where is he? He looks over. It looks like he's outside someone's house. And you see there's a sign that says Copeland, which is Edge's last name, right? The Copeland household. Is where Seth Rollins is. He's outside Edge's house, up in the mountains of, I think, North Carolina, in the middle of nowhere, is where Edge and Beth Phoenix live. And Edge immediately jumps out of the ring and sprints to the back. Now, I know he was going to make a phone call, though he could have made a phone call right there, but I'm just watching him, like, sprint to the back. I'm like, dude, you ain't gonna make it in time. I don't know where you're running off to. But he was running like he was about to catch the next flight out. Don't go nowhere, I'll be right there. I'm going to fly from Baltimore to North Carolina. Actually, that probably isn't that long of a flight. But no, he was not going to make it in time. So then the camera for the next like 3 or 4 minutes just follows Seth Rollins. He goes to knock on the door and the door is open. So apparently the Copelands do not lock their door. Yeah, it's funny. I remember years ago, the first time I think it was the first time I ever went to Canada on a trip. It was Niagara Falls. It was Niagara Falls, and I think on that side, they had this thing called Dutch Wonderland. It was like a whole thing. But I remember we were talking to some people who lived there, and they were saying, and I remember this, and we were talking about living there or whatever we were talking about, and they said that they don't lock their doors. Now, maybe it's different now, because this is going back 20-plus years. But in Canada or parts of Canada, people didn't lock their door. And it struck me as odd, obviously, because I've lived in New York my whole life. And in New York, you better lock your fucking door. Probably in most places in this country, you better lock your fucking door. So that whole concept of just, sometimes we don't lock our door is like so foreign to me. Barely in North Carolina, when you're living in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the wilderness, you don't lock your door. Not only do they not lock their door, they leave all the lights on, even though nobody is home. So they waste electricity as well. Quite the bad example here for them to set. First, they leave their door unlocked. They're wasting precious resources. What's going on here? But Beth Phoenix and the kids, they were not home. And Rollins starts walking around, and he goes into the kitchen, and he opens the refrigerator. And he takes out a container of orange juice, fucking Orange Cassidy here. And he's drinking OJ right out of the container. He takes a load off. He sees, you know, their kids have some drawings and artwork on the wall. And he says that it's pretty bad, actually. That's pretty crummy artwork. So then he goes in the other room and he sits on the couch and he's making himself at home. He's eating an apple. He's having a great time. They cut backstage and Edge is on the phone with his wife. And he's telling her, don't go home. Seth Rollins is at home. Don't go home. Take the kids and go to your brother's house. He said that he called Daniel and Dave, and they were on their way to the house. And I saw Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter made a note. I guess that was kind of like an inside little Easter egg there, because I guess Daniel and Dave are the real names for Dash and Dawson, or Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, who also live up in that part of, I guess, North Carolina. So that is apparently who he was referring to. So don't go home. Don't go home. I've called Dan and Dave, he says. And Pat McAfee, the voice of reason here on the announce team. Pat McAfee is like the modern incarnation in some ways of Jesse Ventura. And Jesse Ventura will not be topped. Jesse Ventura was great. Jesse and Gorilla, second only to Gorilla and Bobby the Brain. Greatest announce team of all time, in my opinion. But one of the things I loved about Jesse Ventura on commentary, whether it was in WWE or it was in WCW, he was the voice of reason. He really wasn't like that much of a heel announcer. He actually talked a lot of sense. And when the babyface announcer, Gorilla Monsoon, Vince McMahon, when they were being blatantly partisan to Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage or one of the babyfaces, clearly being blatantly partisan, he would call them out on it. I still remember the SummerSlam match where they were outside the ring during the Warrior-Rick Rude match. And the Warriors, he's attacking, I think he hit him with a chair maybe or something, and Jesse was freaking out, and Gorilla was like, well, they're on the outside of the ring. And Jesse called him out and said, what does that mean? So are you saying he could pull out a gun and shoot him? And as soon as he said that, I'm sure somewhere Arn Anderson's ears just perked right up. But I always appreciated him being the voice of reason. That's the point. And Pat McAfee is kind of in that role now on SmackDown. And he very astutely points out, why would Edge call Dan and Dave, whoever the fuck they are, just call the police? You have a man in your house. You have someone who's doing a home invasion. Call the cops. No, he called Dan and Dave. So good on Pat McAfee for pointing out the obvious. Better yet, he should have called Arn Anderson, actually. Arn Anderson is who he should have called. This would have been over for good had he done that. I'll tell you one thing. Seth Rollins never would have pulled a stunt like that at Arn's house. He wouldn't have pulled that shit and lived to tell about it. Because Arn ain't going to stand for that. You know what? I actually enjoyed this segment. I think it would have been more enjoyable if they were close enough in proximity to his home where Edge actually made it home. And the camera follows him as he goes into the house. And now he's got to find where Rollins is. Seth, where are you? And he's going room to room like out of a movie or something. And then they end up like fighting and brawling throughout the house. We got that years ago with Triple H and Randy Orton, and it was actually pretty fucking cheesy. But I thought that would have been a little more entertaining. But I didn't hate this segment. I saw some hate online for this segment. I didn't hate it. I thought it was entertaining enough. Carmella, one-on-one against Liv Morgan. Let me just welcome everybody who is joining us here live on a Friday night. We are doing a super stream. We're talking about SmackDown, if you're joining late, and the draft. And then we're going to be talking about AEW Dynamite here in a little bit, and then I'll get to all your super chats. So you guys can tell me what you thought of the draft tonight, or AEW. Carmella against Liv Morgan in a rematch, totally unnecessary rematch, from Extreme Rules. Liv attacked her right at the start, and I guess the bell never rang. I didn't pick up on it right away. When this was over, I just thought to myself, what was the fucking point of this? So I guess the bell never rang. She attacked Carmella. Carmella bails out to the floor right away, and she grabs a microphone and she goes, you bitch. That's the last time that you come near my face or that you do anything to my face. And she goes, ladies. And she goes over by where the timekeeper area is. She's got her back turned, and this crew of makeup ladies or whoever they are come out, and they start strapping. They strap on some kind of mask. Can't see what it is at first. Then she turns around, and what they did is they helped strap on this like glitter mask on Carmella. So she's got a face shield. She's like Sheamus, only with a tan. So then she goes in the ring. She gets chance of you look stupid. She hits a super kick to Liv Morgan. Hits an X Factor. takes the mask off, laughs, the music plays, her music, and that's it. And I'm thinking to myself, what was the fucking point of any of this? This was a total waste of time, is what this segment was. I have nothing else to say about it. We got more draft moves with the first pick of the third round of the draft. SmackDown selected Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. Monday Night Raw chose the women's tag team champions, Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, who were already on the Raw brand, so they stay put. SmackDown chose Hit Row from NXT. That is the group composed of the North American champion, the NXT North American champion, Isaiah Swerve Scott, B-Fab, Ashanti the Adonis, and Top Dollar. And Monday Night Raw chose Keith Bearcat Lee. Bring the catnip to Monday Night Raw because the Bearcat is staying put right where he is. Keith Lee is going to be a member of the Monday Night Raw roster. Hit Row is an interesting one. If you follow my NXT reviews on the podcast, you know I've been a big fan of Hit Row. I like the way that it has rejuvenated Swerve Scott, who he's been there for a while. He wasn't really doing much. When they started doing these pre-tape segments of him sitting in his recording studio, and they put this whole crew together, and the way they shot and filmed some of these segments, it just breathed new life into him. It didn't just breathe new life into him. I mean, he's a champion now because of it. And I think they all just, they look good together. They carry themselves like just a cool faction. I like Hit Row. We have seen B-Fab in the ring only for the first time in the last couple of weeks. As much as I like B-Fab, and I think her personality really shines through as a character on the show, I think she's great. She's a great fit for that group. In the ring, she's no good. She is not ready at all. She is not at all ready for prime time in the ring. Now, if the idea is to bring up Hit Row and B-Fab is going to be relegated to just being a valet, and every now and then she might get in the ring and do stuff, then okay. But if the idea is to call her up now and she's going to be part of the women's division, that is a huge mistake. And we have seen them call people up prematurely before when they were not ready. B-Fab, if they want to put her in the ring to wrestle, B-Fab is not ready. I saw that match with Electra Lopez on TV on Tuesday. It was not good. Now, they had the crutch of it being basically an Extreme Rules match, and they were using plunder, weapons, and stuff, but what I have gathered from watching her the last couple of weeks is that B-Fab is not ready in the ring. Swerve Scott is more than ready. Top Dollar, I enjoy his shtick. I haven't seen enough of him to know whether he'll be able to hang with everybody on the main roster. You know, Ashanti the Adonis, he's very talented. So I am going to take a wait-and-see approach on Hit Row because I have the same reservations I have about everybody they call up from NXT. NXT has something that's cool, that works, that feels fresh. They get called up to Raw or SmackDown, but probably Raw, and it gets destroyed. Now, Hit Row is going to SmackDown, so that gives me a little more confidence, but still, the main roster is the main roster. They're going to be under the thumb now of Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard, which I guess they are at NXT anyway, right? With this whole NXT 2.0 reboot. But I just, you know, if Vince McMahon has got his hooks into Hit Row, is that really such a good thing? If Vince McMahon looks at Hit Row, is he even going to know what it is that they're about? How does he explain Hit Row to somebody? Do I even want to hear Vince McMahon try to explain Hit Row to someone? Does he fully understand what it is that they are and what they're trying to do? I don't know. That's what worries me about that. But I hope for their sake that things work out, because I've been a big fan of Hit Row and it could absolutely die a death. And yes, I see people mentioning Sanity. Sanity is a cautionary tale of what happened to them. And I was not a fan of Sanity. Sanity didn't do much for me when they were in NXT. So I can't say I was overly excited when Eric Young and Killian Dane and all of them initially got called up to the main roster. But they deserved a chance. Just because I wasn't really a fan of the act doesn't mean that they didn't deserve a chance. Sanity got called up and they never even had a chance. They were never given an opportunity. I would like to think that Hit Row won't be a repeat of the Sanity story, that they see that they have something in this crew. But, you know, I have seen the opposite play out before, and I don't want to see that happen to these guys. So I can't even sit here and tell you I'm cautiously optimistic. I just hope for their sake that they get a fair shake. Just give them a chance. If you give them a chance, they will get over. That act will get over on the main roster. I guarantee you, if you give it a chance, that act will get over on the main roster. But to go back to B-Fab, she ain't ready to be in the ring, and I hope they don't plan on her wrestling too much on this show. Or at least let her continue to train and hone her craft in Orlando while she does whatever they have her doing on TV. It's hard to do that, though, when you're on the road, right? I mean, it was one thing during the pandemic when they were in Florida every week, but now they're on the road. It's going to be hard to, you know, continue to do that when you're also traveling here and there and everywhere and being on TV every week. We had an 8-man tag team match with The New Day. We had The New Day tagging with the Street Profits, who I do think are Raw bound, taking on the Alpha Academy, Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. I thought this was a fun match. Your typical WWE 8-man tag. A lot of action here. If you get the right crew of people in there, it's a lot of action. You know, it's never boring. I thought it was fun. Angelo Dawkins got the hot tag. He ran wild. Montez Ford sent Otis out to the floor. He hit his gigantic flip dive out over the top rope onto Otis. Ziggler caught him with a super kick as soon as he got back to his feet. But here comes Kofi. Here comes Kofi jumping off the ring steps, and he tackles Ziggler down to the ground. Inside the ring, Roode hit a spinebuster on Dawkins for a near fall. Roode went for the glorious DDT, but Dawkins broke free. Woods and Kingston then hit their backbreaker foot stomp combo finish for the win. We're back to the draft. First pick of the fourth round, I should say. SmackDown drafts Naomi. And Sonya Deville was not happy about this. She says, I guess nobody consulted me about this because, of course, she has been a total bitch to Naomi now for weeks on TV. So she didn't seem very happy about that. Monday Night Raw drafts Rey and Dominic Mysterio. SmackDown selects Jeff Hardy. Another move that I pitched on the podcast last week. We're one step closer, I'm telling you, to a Jeff Hardy-Roman Reigns program in a few months. Start building up Jeff Hardy. Let him rack up some wins on TV. You can get a one-month program or two-month program out of Jeff Hardy trying one last time to capture the championship. It would be the first universal title for him. People like Jeff Hardy. He gets great reactions. They love his music. They're very nostalgic about the Hardy Boys, and they want to see him succeed. They want to see him do well. We knew that. Just watch the reaction he got in that U.S. title triple threat at the pay-per-view on Sunday. You could absolutely get a month or two program out of Jeff Hardy challenging Roman Reigns for the championship between now and WrestleMania. It's a babyface for him to beat. You could craft a good story out of it. I don't know if that's the reason why they moved Jeff. They could just as easily have moved Jeff Hardy because they just wanted him to be on SmackDown so that people have somebody to beat. But I think you could be doing more with him. One last shot for Jeff Hardy. I think the people would buy into it. So he now is a member of the SmackDown roster. And with the final pick on night one of the draft, Monday Night Raw selects Austin Theory from NXT. That one seemed pretty obvious. Another one that I suggested last week because he's had a whole bunch of dark matches recently. It seemed like they were getting ready to call him up. The only question was, which brand were they going to put him on? Well, now we know. Austin Theory is bound for Monday Night Raw. Austin Theory was on Monday Night Raw last year during the pandemic. And he didn't last very long. So now he's coming back from NXT. He's gotten better. He's only improved since then. Is he going to play the goofy character that he was playing on NXT with Johnny Gargano in the way? Are they going to completely reboot him? Because God knows we've seen them do that with people from NXT. Completely ignore and retcon whatever they were doing down there and just do something completely different with him. Maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea. He doesn't have the Garganos with him, so he's just going to walk around and be a goof. They already have somebody like that on Raw. His name is Matt Riddle. But Austin Theory is another one who, he's really good. And if given a push slowly and he starts, you know, building up wins over time, he could be one of the top stars on the brand. Now, Kayla Braxton was in the back and she was about to interview Jeff Hardy when all of a sudden, who should walk in but Lumberjack Lesnar? There's a sentence you don't usually hear. Brock Lesnar interrupting a backstage promo for one of his own. He took the microphone out of Kayla's hand, and he wanted to thank his good friend, Paul Heyman. He had this big, cheesy smile on his face. I want to thank you, Paul. He wanted to thank Paul Heyman because now he was a free agent, which means he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Then he gave us a mic drop. He winked at the camera, and he walked off. Brock Lesnar playing mind games with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, driving a wedge. This is what I talked about when Lesnar first came back and why I was so into a Lesnar-Roman Reigns program, because all the roles are reversed now, and Paul Heyman, like a parent trying to choose which child is his favorite, is caught in the middle of all of this. And Heyman is fucking fantastic as far as, you know, how he has played this part so far on TV, including in the very next segment. They cut to Roman Reigns in his dressing room. He was with Heyman and the Usos, and he goes, my good friend Paul Heyman. That's what Brock said. Brock, my good friend Paul Heyman. So Roman goes, my good friend Paul Heyman. He goes, are you good friends with Brock Lesnar? He goes, let me ask you something, Paul. Are we good friends? Because if we are, then that means that you look out for me. And if you look out for me, then you look out for my family. Were my cousins drafted to SmackDown tonight? And Heyman's logical response would be, but my tribal chief, this is only night one of the draft. They're not eligible to be drafted tonight. But he didn't say that. Heyman was stammering over himself. And he said, it's all part of his strategy. He said, I am the wise man. And Reigns kind of laughed it off at first, and then he screamed at him. He goes, you're the wise man when I say you're the wise man. Then he calmed down. Heyman was in tears. He looked like he just came from a wake. His eyes were watery and glassy and all red. And He's sitting there and he's being abused. And Roman Reigns tells him, he goes, you're going to go to Raw this Monday and you're going to make sure that the Usos are drafted to SmackDown. And Heyman obliges and he leaves. And when he leaves, Roman looks over at the Usos and he says, I want you to go with him on Monday. And if he doesn't get the job done, leave him for dead. So the Usos have their marching orders. If Paul Heyman doesn't get the job done on Monday, that's going to be the end of Paul Heyman with the bloodline, which tells me the Usos are going to be drafted to SmackDown on Monday. Because I don't think they're ready to... They can't cut bait just yet. You got to send Heyman to Saudi Arabia. He's got to be there. He's got to be ringside for the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match. We can't kick him out of the bloodline just yet. We haven't gotten to the match yet. Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair was a main event of this show tonight that they only announced late in the afternoon. When I was putting the preview together earlier today for the channel here, I realized, I said, they don't have a single fucking match announced for this show tonight. Not one. We know it's the draft, and obviously that's the selling point of the show, but they had not announced a single match for SmackDown tonight. And I can almost guarantee you that in the next few days we're going to find out that this show was not even fully finalized or written until a few hours before showtime, because that's what it felt like. We didn't know anything And then out of nowhere, they announce a rematch of one of the main events of this year's WrestleMania, the match that we were supposed to get at SummerSlam. And they gave it to us tonight. And when Sasha came back, or even before Sasha came back, I said, you know, when Sasha comes back, oh, it's when I did the predictions for Extreme Rules. And one of the predictions I had for the women's title match between Becky and Bianca, I said, Sasha Banks is going to come back. And she's going to interfere and she's going to cost Bianca the title. And that's exactly what happened. And I said, then after that, if they want, if one of them is going to move in the draft, they could have that as the main event on one of the draft nights. That's exactly what I said. I just figured they would announce that in advance. I didn't know they were just going to kind of spit it out the way that they did. But there they were in the middle of the ring together for the first time since WrestleMania one-on-one. Becky Lynch came out. The SmackDown Women's Champion came out to sit in on commentary for this. And my God, was this woman unbelievably annoying. How fucking obnoxious was this woman on commentary tonight? I guess that was the point, because she is the heel. Wow. You know it's bad when I am longing for Chris Jericho to be on commentary. I would have gladly taken Chris Jericho on commentary, because as fucking annoying as he sometimes is when he screams and he hollers and all that kind of stuff, I would have taken Chris Jericho over her. It was as if she was trying so hard to just be as obnoxious as she could be by talking over the announcers. So what you had was just constant noise. And even at one point, I think it was McAfee or Michael Cole was like, all right, calm down. It was like they were telling her, all right, calm down. It's cool. Just take it down a notch. So Sasha hit a Hurricane Rana on Bianca early on. She went for a monkey flip. Belair landed on her feet. Bianca caught Sasha, lifted her up for a press slam. Looked like she dropped her. She didn't really get her all the way up for it, but Bianca went for the KOD. Banks landed on her feet, and then Belair rocked her with a clothesline that sent her out to the floor. They go to break. And they come back from the final break of the show. Bianca and Sasha are fighting up on the top turnbuckle. Sasha pushes Belair off. She lands on her feet. And Banks hits the Meteora for a near fall. Bianca fights back. She hits a chicken wing slam for another near fall. She follows that up with a suplex and a handspring moonsault for a two count. Sasha hits a DDT. She follows that up with a frog splash for a near fall. They end up out on the apron, and Bianca picks her up on her shoulder. She's going to go for the KOD on the apron. Sasha manages to slip out over the top rope, so she basically falls back into the ring. And she comes off the ropes, slides under Bianca's legs, and grabs her. And she's trying to give her a sunset bomb off the apron. Bianca goes off and lands on her feet. And she almost collided with Becky, who stood up at the announce desk. They got up in each other's face. Bianca drops Sasha across the barricade, puts her back in the ring. And as Bianca Belair is climbing back into the ring, and the referee did not see this, Becky Lynch grabs her braid. And she sort of leans on the apron because her hair is so long. So she's got this woman's braid, and it's trapped, and obviously it distracts Bianca. Sasha then rolls up Belair, and she pins her 1-2-3. So not exactly the match I was hoping to see from these two. It was good while it lasted, but it was not anything like what I'm sure they would have planned at SummerSlam in front of 45,000 people had they had the chance to go out there and wrestle. And we still don't know exactly why they didn't. Obviously, it was some kind of medical issue, supposedly, with Sasha. That's her business, but unfortunately it cost us what I thought would have been a hell of a match, because their match at WrestleMania is one of my favorite matches all year. And I was really looking forward to that rematch. In August, we didn't get it. The match we had here left a lot to be desired, especially that finish. So after the match, in comes Charlotte Flair. She boots Sasha right in the face. She attacks Bianca. And she poses with her Raw Women's title. Becky stands up on the announce desk and holds up her SmackDown Women's title, and they stare each other down from afar. Charlotte and Becky. the more things change, the more they stay. Well, you could say the same thing about Brock and Roman, I guess, right? And same thing here. Becky was the baby face. Now she's trying to be the heel. So the roles are not totally reversed, but kind of a little bit. And that may well end up being your match at Survivor Series. Of course, they would both have to hold on to their titles to get that far. I think there's a much better chance Charlotte loses her belt before Survivor Series than Becky does. But I suspect these two are not going to end up being on the same show for very long. So, not a great show. SmackDown was not a great show tonight. Not a terrible show. Again, the Reigns and Lesnar segment I enjoyed. It was hot. People badly wanted to see, you know, Brock get him up for that F5 and Roman escaped. So, I mean, that was a fun segment. The eight-man tag was fun for what it was. And the main event was good, but if you didn't see it, go back and watch their WrestleMania match. It was much better than the match they had tonight. So let's go through these draft moves real quick. We are now midway through the draft, and here is where things stand so far. Monday Night Raw drafts Big E, Bianca Belair, Randy Orton, Matt Riddle, Edge, Rhea Ripley, Nikki Ash, Keith Lee, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and Austin Theory. SmackDown drafts Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Drew McIntyre, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Hit Row, and again, why would you not draft the New Day? Three guys when you just drafted Hit Row, which is four people. I digress. They get Hit Row, Naomi, and Jeff Hardy. I look at those rosters so far, and I think to myself, pretty even night. Pretty even night. You could go one way or the other, but it would not be an overwhelming victory, I think, for either brand. If I have to give the edge to anybody, well, I mean, literally, Raw got the edge, technically, but, I mean, they have a guy named Edge on their roster. But I would give SmackDown the edge. Because, look, at the end of the day, whichever brand has Roman Reigns is going to be the A brand. He is the biggest star in the company, arguably the biggest star in wrestling. Whichever show has Roman Reigns, they are going to be the A brand. And right now, that brand is SmackDown. For that reason alone, if nothing else, because they still have Roman Reigns on the show. Becky and Sasha, they're going to be eligible on Monday. It seems likely to me that Becky Lynch is going to be moving to Monday Night Raw. And if she goes, I think so goes Seth Rollins. I'll tell you something. Becky Lynch better go to Monday Night Raw. As I look at all of this and I say, okay, where are people going to end up going and what's going to happen with the women's, you know, titles and the women's champions and all that, Becky better go to Monday Night Raw. Because if she doesn't, oh boy, you look back at that match, if you could even call it a match, 26 seconds at SummerSlam, and what they did with Becky and Bianca and the way that, you know, she beat Bianca in 26 seconds. She took her championship. She made her look like a fool. And, of course, we had people going, well, let it play out. Let it play out. They're telling a story. Bianca's going to be fine. She's going to get her big win in the end, or she's going to eventually win the belt back and get one over on Becky. Let it play out. Okay. I'll let it play out. But if it plays out on Monday that Becky Lynch does not move to Monday Night Raw, and they got Bianca Belair off of SmackDown away from Becky Lynch, and she never got her comeuppance on Becky Lynch, I don't want to hear from these fucking people, let it play out, ever again. Those people need to keep their mouths shut. Becky Lynch has to move to Monday Night Raw. Otherwise, boy, does that make what they did with Bianca Belair at SummerSlam, as bad as it looked that night, there were a lot of wrestlers in the company who didn't like what they did, let alone fans online complaining. As bad as that was, it will look 10 times worse. And then tonight she lost again, Bianca. It will look 10 times worse if Bianca goes to Raw and Becky does not follow. So Becky Lynch should end up on Raw this Monday night. I'd be surprised if she does and Seth Rollins does not go with her. We have Bobby Lashley, former WWE champion. Bobby Lashley is still eligible. We'll see if they break up the Hurt Business after putting them back together the way they did to the New Day. as excited as I want to be about the fact that the Hurt Business is back together, I'm dreading what they might do on Monday on Raw. So there's a lot of names left. Next Friday, they're billing it as the season premiere, as they do every year. It is the season premiere of SmackDown next week, and it is official. We've heard the rumors and the reports, and I think credit to Andrew Zarian of the Matt Men podcast, as I believe he was the one who initially broke the news about the King of the Ring, but the King of the Ring is back. And now we have a Queen of the Ring, which is not being called Queen of the Ring because they have to be different. So instead of Queen of the Ring, it is the Queen's Crown. They're calling it the Queen's Crown Tournament. So you have one for the men, one for the women, just like they do with the Royal Rumble, just like they do with the Elimination Chamber. The earlier reports indicated that the finals of both tournaments will take place in Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel on the 21st. They didn't announce that, but I believe that is where they are going to have the finals for both tournaments on the men's and the women's side. So I'm going to wait to see what the brackets look like before predicting any winners. I mean, I could spit out a whole bunch of names, but I don't know who the hell's going to be in this tournament. You know, is Charlotte going to be in there? It doesn't look like it because she's the champion, so why would she be in there? But who knows? Maybe the champions are eligible to be in the tournament as well. We just don't know. So I don't want to comment on it and give a prediction until I know who's actually going to be part of this thing. So that was SmackDown, and I was going to wait until later because we're going to check the Rampage poll, but let me check the SmackDown poll right now. And you see it's virtually split down the middle. 51% thumbs up, almost 49% thumbs down. At Solomonster is where you can go to vote on what you thought of SmackDown tonight. That pretty much mirrors what I thought. You know, SmackDown, as compared to how it is on most weeks, I thought was, you know, a pretty lame, disappointing show. Very missable episode of SmackDown this week, I thought. But that was SmackDown, and now we flip over, boom, to AEW Rampage, which was a taped show from Rochester, New York. They did tape this on Wednesday in Brody Lee's hometown. We had Excalibur and Taz on commentary. A two-man booth, Be Still My Beating Heart. Ah, a two-man announce booth. Although Ricky Starks did join later on. Ricky Starks is very low-key, though, on commentary. He's not as outgoing on commentary as he is during his promos, which I can appreciate, actually. But Excalibur and Taz pretty much pulled the load on commentary tonight, and it was a joy. I think they should be the permanent announce team on Rampage. I always found them, when I would tune into Dark, I always found them to be entertaining. So if they wanted to make them the permanent team, I have no issue with that. They kicked off with the main event, the real main event of the show tonight. The American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, one-on-one with Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. Again, the story here is that Bryan Danielson wants an AEW title match with Kenny Omega. And so he is willing to go through the entire Elite, if that's what it takes for him to get to Omega and to get to that championship match. Danielson hit an early tope suicida, followed up with the shotgun dropkick that he does off the top rope. He set him up for a surfboard, and he had his fingers. He reached over, and he had his fingers in Nick Jackson's mouth. It was almost like he was trying to pry his jaw open. And the referee, was it Rick Knox or Bryce Remsburg? I want to say Rick Knox. Rick Knox starts counting him, and Danielson looks at him dead in the face, and he goes, "I have till five." I was like, oh, it's been so long since I've had the American Dragon in the ring here talking about how he's got till five to release the hold, which is true. It's smart. Always wait until four and a half because you have until five to let go. So the crowd started chanting, "You're going to get your fucking head kicked in," at Nick Jackson. Danielson worked him over. He worked his arm over, tied him up in the ropes, and started laying in some forearms. And he was just, all throughout this match, Danielson was just blistering this guy with chops and with forearms and kicks. And Nick dodged a corner drop kick. He sent Danielson out to the floor. Matt Jackson was out there. He then sent Danielson down with a spear as they cut to the first picture-in-picture break. They come back from break, and Nick Jackson is in control. Jackson goes into his own version of the yes kicks. All that did was fire up Danielson. Danielson no-sold all the kicks. He spit in Nick's face, and he launched into a whole flurry of chops and kicks. Danielson hit a pair of running knee strikes. Nick caught him with two super kicks for a near fall. Nick goes up top for a 450. Danielson gets the knees up, and he immediately transitions that into the lebel lock. Nick, though, makes it to the ropes for the break. So Danielson's back with more kicks out on the apron. The very last kick that he went to go throw at Nick Jackson, Nick dodged the kick, and Danielson kicked the ring post. He went shin first into the ring post. And at that point, Jackson hit a German suplex on the apron. Danielson landed mostly on his shoulder, and he went tumbling off to the floor. And he rolled Danielson back into the ring at that point, locked on a sharpshooter, but Danielson made it to the ropes. So Brian rolls outside, and Nick goes out on the apron, and he's going for a penalty kick. He's going to deliver a PK, but Brian ducks it. He ends up kicking Brandon Cutler in the face by accident. Danielson lands a released German suplex to Nick on the floor, who lands belly first, and he bounced off the floor. Back in the ring, Danielson went after Matt Jackson, who was up on the apron, and Nick rolled him up for a two count. Danielson hit a tiger suplex, followed that up with a series of rapid-fire elbows before locking on the cattle mutilation. And here's something I haven't seen in a very long time. And when I say very long time, I'm talking years. He won with the cattle mutilation. He actually submitted Nick Jackson with the cattle mutilation. Brian looks rejuvenated in there. I love the fact that all these callbacks to these old spots that he would do back in his American Dragon days. I thought this was a very good match. Very good 15-minute match. They gave them time. And this was very good stuff. After the match, the Elite came out. Jungle Boy, Christian Cage, and Luchasaurus followed, coming out to back up Danielson. Big brawl breaks out. Danielson locks on the lebel lock on Kenny Omega. Omega's tapping out, right? Jungle Boy puts Adam Cole in the snare trap. Adam Cole is tapping out. So they had stereo submissions going on here. This is all to hype up the 8-man tag coming up in Philly next Wednesday. We got a pair of pre-taped promos. One from Ricky Starks, who was driving somewhere, talking about how he and Brian Cage are nothing alike. I think I could tell that just by looking at them. I think it's pretty obvious that they're nothing alike. I'd say that Cage has, what, probably about 150 pounds on Starks? Maybe not 150, but... We had another pre-tape promo, this one from CM Punk. Always, I love how they always got to try to get CM Punk on this show. I mean, it's smart. That way they have a reason to hype that CM Punk is going to be... Although I don't know if they did, though. I don't remember them advertising him for this show. But even just in a little, like, 30-second pre-tape package, they always try to get Punk or Danielson on these shows ever since they debuted. And Punk said that... He talked about his match with Will Hobbs at Grand Slam and how he survived him. He put the guy over as he was talking about him. He talked about how he survived Will Hobbs, and he said that there'll be a time to get down to business, i.e., I assume that meant going after the championship. He didn't say that, but I assume that's what he meant. He said there'll be a time and a place for that. But he said he would rather choke to death on greatness than starve on mediocrity. And that was your CM Punk Phil for the night. Well, literally, that was literally your dose of Phil for the night here on this show. Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose, and Jade Cargill, one of the few triple threat matches that we have ever seen on AEW television. They do not do these match. I mean, they do multiple person matches every week. 6-man tags, 8-man tags, 16-man tags, battle royals, that they do a lot of. But triple threats, fatal four ways, very, very few of them. Very few of them we've gotten. So Nyla Rose power slammed Thunder Rosa to take her out of the match, and she went face to face with Jade, and the two of them started exchanging forearms. Jade threw a pump kick that took down Nyla. Then she clotheslined Nyla out over the top rope, but here comes Thunder Rosa. Off the top rope with a missile drop kick, takes down Jade Cargill. And they cut to another commercial break. And my God, this was a long commercial break. They come back, and Rosa drop kicks a garbage can into Jade Cargill. So that break was so long, it turned into a hardcore match. This felt like one of those matches like back in the day where, like, let's join this match in progress. It looked like a totally different match when they came back. That's how long that break felt. So Nyla hit a nasty neck breaker, takes down Cargill. She locks on a single leg crab. Rosa, though, hits the ropes and breaks it up with a running drop kick. So now we see that on the outside of the ring, there is a table set up. Again, we missed all of this during the break. There is a table set up outside the ring. Nyla scales the ropes with Thunder Rosa. She's going to, I guess, suplex her through the table. Rosa slips out, and she ends up powerbombing Nyla all the way down to the table. This was the most deliberate, slow-motion powerbomb that you have ever seen. She tried to be as safe as she could possibly be. I mean, Nyla took a hard spill through the table, but it still looked safe. She was trying her best not to just, you know, throw this woman down through the table. But that took Nyla out of the picture. Rosa gets back in the ring, and Jade has a chair. Smart Mark Sterling slipped her a chair. And she starts waylaying on Thunder Rosa with this chair. 7 or 8 chair shots. And she pins her. And Jade Cargill remains undefeated. She picks up the W. I am heated. Heated, I tell you, that Thunder Rosa was the one to take the fall in this match. Even though it took 8 chair shots. It's not like she just pinned her clean in the middle with her move. It took 8 chair shots or thereabout to put down Thunder Rosa. So that's cool, I guess. But, you know, I guess I don't know if this is why they had Rosa take the losing fall here, but I have been asked about whether or not I think, like, and you guys will send super chats in and ask me, oh, do you think it's too soon to do Thunder Rosa against Britt Baker for the championship? Is she going to be Britt Baker's next challenger for the title? Yes, it is too soon to do that match. I would not do that match until early next year, maybe Revolution. I would hold off. And then have Thunder Rosa be the one to take the championship from Britt Baker. But now is not the time to do that. The problem is that Thunder Rosa is ranked number 1 in the women's ranking. So if you go by the rankings, and they try to, she's number 1. So if she's the number 1 ranked woman in AEW right now, then how are you going to hold off on her challenging for the title for another 5 or 6 months, right? Or 4 months, whatever it is. If she loses a match here or a match there, because Jade is ranked in number 2. I went to go check the rankings earlier, and it's Thunder Rosa number 1, Jade number 2. Well, if she loses a few matches, then Thunder Rosa falls down the rankings. She'll be number 2, she'll be number 3, and that'll buy you some time. And then Rosa can win a whole bunch of matches. She can go on a hot streak, and before you know it, in January and February, guess who's number 1 again? Thunder Rosa. So if that's what they're going for here, and consciously they're having her take the losing fall because they're thinking along the same lines that I am, then I understand it. But if it's any other reason, I hate seeing Thunder Rosa take the loss here when Nyla Rose could have very easily taken the loss and it wouldn't have made that much of a difference. Then we had Orange Cassidy one-on-one against Jack Evans with Matt Hardy in his corner. Hair versus hair. As I said a few weeks ago, it would not be Matt Hardy putting his hair on the line. He would take poor Jack Evans and make him the sacrificial lamb. We were going to end up with bald Jack Evans, which we didn't get. We actually didn't get to see him bald at the end of the show. Maybe I'll look on Twitter. Maybe they put something on their social media. Or on TV next week, he'll be bald. They didn't finish the job. I guess maybe they ran out of TV time. Hardy pulled Cassidy out of the ring early. Referee wasn't looking, and he hit Orange with a right hand. Evans followed that up with a 450 splash off the apron to the floor. That led into the final picture-in-picture break of the night. We come back from break. Cassidy dodges a handspring elbow from Evans, then hits a pair of planches on both ends of the ring, one out onto Evans, then one out onto Matt Hardy on the other side. Cassidy goes for the spinning DDT. Jack Evans counters with a Northern Lights suplex and transitions into a Michinoku driver for a near fall. Evans hits a standing Sky Twister press. And then he goes up top for another sky twister. This time he's going to do it from the top rope, but he misses. Cassidy hits the tornado DDT, comes off the top with a diving DDT for a close near fall. Matt Hardy has seen enough. It is time to summon the Hardy family office. And he's waving them on out. And here comes the Butcher, and here comes the Blade, and here comes the Bunny, and here comes all the members of the Hardy family office. I think Private Party was out there. Here comes the HFO. But we see that best friends, Chuck, Wheeler Yuta, Chris Statlander, they came out of the crowd. They have formed basically a human shield by ringside to prevent the heels from coming down. And Jack Evans is in the ring. He is distracted by all of this, and then he ends up turning around into an orange punch. Orange Cassidy gets the pin. So while the best friends are getting ready to give this dude a haircut, the Hardy family office is trying to make their way down. Angelico tries to get through the wall of people that are shielding the ring. Dark Order comes out to provide aid to the babyfaces. And again, they're in Rochester. This was, of course, the big tribute night to Brody Lee. So they want to put more Dark Order on the show. They come out. Negative One comes out. Brody Jr. And we see in the ring, Orange Cassidy, he cuts off a big chunk of Jack Evans' ponytail. We've got Chuck. We've got Wheeler Yuta now. They're shaving his head. Again, they didn't finish the job from what I could see. But then they have a broom and they're sweeping hair out of the ring. And now the Dark Order gets into the ring. Negative One, who is wearing this faux mustache. He looks like Super Mario. Or he looks like Shad Khan. He's standing in the ring. He's got the mask on and the mustache. And all the baby faces are all backed away in the corners. And they all come together for a giant hug. With Negative One in the middle. Big hug in the middle of the ring. And that is how they closed out the show. So a nice moment there. Again, this was taped on Wednesday. Wednesday was in Brody's hometown, and his son was there, his family was there. It was a nice thing for them to do. Some nice little moment there at the end of the show, but that was not the main event. The main event is what opened the show. Bryan Danielson against Nick Jackson is going to be a main event on most shows. Maybe not a pay-per-view, but on TV, that's going to be your main event. That was the best match of the night on either show, was the opening match between Danielson and Nick Jackson. So Dynamite on Wednesday in Philly celebrates the two-year anniversary of AEW Dynamite. We have the Elite against Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage, and Jurassic Express. We have Sammy Guevara defending the TNT Championship against former Undisputed Era member Bobby Fish. MLW's Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish is starting with MLW, I believe, tomorrow. In fact, he's participating in the Opera Cup tournament. And I believe they're going to be in Philadelphia, in fact. After Dynamite went off the air on Wednesday, he was tweeting that he would love to challenge Sammy for the championship. And Sammy acknowledged it and said, "Boy, I'm getting messages from people who don't even work for this company who want to come at me for this title." He goes, "Bobby Fish, you want me? You come to Dynamite on Wednesday, and it'll be you and me for the championship." So that sounds to me like a one-off. It would almost have to be if Fish is signed with MLW. So they're doing that. Hikaru Shida looks for her 50th AEW win, the first woman she would be to hit 50 wins, one-on-one against the returning Serena Deeb. And we have the return of the casino ladder match, only the second casino ladder match in AEW history. The first one was last year at Double or Nothing. That was the match that Brian Cage won when Cage made his debut and then went on to challenge Jon Moxley for the championship on TV and lost when Taz threw the towel in to save his man. So we have the casino ladder match, which I prefer over the Battle Royal. And the winner is going to receive a world title match at some point in the future. We now know most of the participants. We do not know all of the participants, but we do know most of them. We have Jon Moxley, Lance Archer, Pac, Andrade, Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy. Again, why? Why is Matt Hardy in this match? Matt Hardy has no business being... I know his experience with ladder matches. Matt Hardy has no business being in this match. That is a waste of a spot. And they're keeping a Joker spot open. So there is going to be a mystery entrant. Two-year anniversary of Dynamite. Winner gets a world title match. hasn't been around for a while. Sure seems like a good spot for Hangman Page to come back. And that is how he wins his way to a world championship match against Kenny Omega, who already said he's not going to give him a championship match. Now, the only wrinkle in that is that everything is building towards Bryan Danielson challenging Kenny Omega for the championship at Full Gear. And I think that's a match that people want to see. And he'll go, he went through Matt Jack or Nick Jackson this week on TV next week or the week after. He probably will go through Matt Jackson. He might even go through Adam Cole on his way to challenging Kenny Omega. So if that's the case, and that match is going to happen at Full Gear, then I would wait and save the match with Omega and Hangman and build it up a little bit more for Revolution. So if Hangman comes back and he wins the ladder match, you know, does it really make a lot of sense for him not to be the one then to challenge for the title at Full Gear? Or does he challenge at Full Gear and loses? And then gets a rematch? Like, I don't know. The timing of it to me is questionable. I don't know what their preference is going to be. If they want to get the title match with Danielson out of the way first and save Hangman for early next year, in which case, I mean, can he win the ladder match next week and just keep the title shot in his back pocket? I mean, there's no law or rule that says he has to, use it in the next 30 days or 60 days. That's the only thing that's making me wonder about, is it smart for him to win the shot now when they're building to Danielson? But I look at that match next week and I just think there is no other person who would be better suited for that spot and to win that match than Hangman Page. It almost has to be him. Big Dynamite anniversary show in Philly. Blow the roof off the place. I think it'll be Hangman. And if it is, then he's going to pick up the win. So it's going to be a hybrid anniversary and birthday stream next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to spending my happy day with all of you. I hope you'll reciprocate and join me and keep me some company on my birthday. So we'll have some fun next Wednesday. I will let you guys know on social media. That's why follow me on Twitter. My handle, I always put it on the screen for you. And listen to the podcast on Sunday, episode 724, which is going to be a good one. There's a lot to talk about on 724 on Sunday, including Roads to the Top, which I did watch, and the Broken Skull Sessions with Seth Rollins, which I watched, and some very interesting takeaways. I know everybody is talking about him wanting to strangle Vince McMahon. I mean, I've been there. But a lot of interesting little nuggets coming out of that interview. So we'll talk about all that. I will let you guys know if I am going to be live streaming on Monday night. The situation with YouTube TV and NBC Universal right now, they have extended things where while they negotiate, they have not stripped us of all of the NBC channels. We almost lost NBC, USA, and all the other channels they own yesterday, but they gave us a reprieve. So it looks like I'll be able to watch Raw live on Monday. If I do, I might go live here on YouTube. So you might get a rare live Raw stream out of me on Monday night. Kareem in the chat says, he thinks I am the only Hangman Page fan. Well, then I don't know what television show you've been watching. Because if you think I'm the only Hangman Page fan, then you clearly are not watching the AEW television shows. Someone is feeding you tapes or DVDs of the wrong television show, and you need to start watching Dynamite and Rampage. Because every time I see Hangman Page on TV, he gets a monster reaction from the AEW audience. So again, I want you to tell me that I'm the only person who is rooting for Hangman Page, and I will tell you all the reasons why you are wrong. I don't know what you're watching, but I want you to watch this. I want you to watch the AEW poll. So the poll for Rampage tonight, doing a lot better than SmackDown. 77.4%, 22.6% thumbs down. You know, Rampage, it was all about the opening match, honestly, for me, with Danielson and Nick Jackson. Outside of that, it was a very missable show. This was not the strongest week for either SmackDown or Rampage. Amiibo says, I guess they need Hardy in there for the experience. Now you're reaching for an excuse. They don't need Hardy in there for the experience. Most of the guys that are in that match, I do believe, have been in ladder matches before. So I don't buy that whole they need him in there for the experience thing. That doesn't fly with me. But let's switch on over here. Let us actually before I do, again, we have some people tuning in late. Earlier today, the brand new 14-year anniversary t-shirt went up because next month we are celebrating the 14-year anniversary of the podcast. And you can pick up the shirt either in black or white, either one, on prowrestlingtees.com/solomonstersoundsoff. You even have the option for the soft cotton, which I think is a couple of bucks extra. I usually go for the soft cotton, but you don't have to if you don't want to. You can get it in long sleeve form. You can get it in tank top form. Whatever floats your boat. Celebrating 14 years. So thank you to everybody who's already picked up a shirt. They are available right now on Pro Wrestling Tees. So let me bring up the... I don't know if I can get them on screen. I'll just read them here. See what you guys thought of these shows tonight. Thank you, King, in the chat. Says, congrats on 14 years. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Let's check out your super chats here. Let's get some music going here. There we go. There we go. We'll do your super chats. We'll do Be the Booker at the end, which you guys always seem to enjoy. Be the Booker. What am I? I'm on the SmackDown slide. Here we go. That's okay. We're done with Rampage, so we'll go back to the SmackDown slide. I want to send a shout out to Hashway. I don't think he's listening live at the moment, but he dropped in earlier to drop $5. So thank you to Hashway. Y'all wanted to wish me a happy birthday in case he could not be on the stream on Wednesday. It's very nice of you. Thank you. Turtlehead wants to know if it's a Ringer t-shirt. It is not. It is not a Ringer t-shirt because Pro Wrestling Tees bought out all of the Ringer shirts in America. Literally all the Ringer shirts in the country. Possibly the continent for all of the CM Punk shirts. So that is where they are. I don't even know if there are any Ringer shirts that are allotted for anybody other than CM Punk. So, unfortunately, no. It is not a Ringer shirt. Kagi says, can I get that in hoodie format? I don't think so, but you might want to check with Pro Wrestling Tees because they do have hoodies. I don't know if it's listed as an option on the site. You might have to check with them, though. That's a great question. I don't know for sure. But if you ask them, they might be able to make it happen. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $9.99. I appreciate that. Always showing much love to Nayef. And also, I want to show love to Andrew Heller, Mr. and Mrs. Junk, and Sharia Saxena, all of whom became channel members today. So thank you very much. I am finalizing the members-only Q&A log, so if you are new and you want to try to get a question in before I do the next members-only video in the next couple of days, there's a post, there's a thread under the community tab. So you'll see it's got almost 50 comments or 50 questions in there. If you're a channel member, you'll see it. So be sure to get those questions in. And that'll be available to all tiers, all channel members by next week. We'll get that done by next week. Ryan Spies. Well, it's been a good run for Hit Row, he says. They're totally effed now. Yeah, as I said earlier about Hit Row, I'm taking a very... I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. History does not bode well when they call up an entire group, when they call up certain people from NXT, so I don't have a great feeling about it, but... Man... It'd be hard for them to fuck up something like Hit Row. It really would. Maz, I usually I get them loaded up. It's not loading for some reason, so I think it's because I'm not logged in. Sometimes it'll log me out, so for me to have to go back and log in and everything, I don't want to waste your time with that. So that's why they're not in a separate window right now. We'll get it back to normal next week. Drew Johnson just became a Sound Off superstar. Welcome, Drew. Always good to pick up a new Sound Off superstar. Talking about Hit Row. Tuxedo T Servo in the chat says, Pessimism Rising. I thought you were suggesting a name for a new WWE pay-per-view. Call it Pessimism Rising. Could easily name a new show after that if you wanted to. Brian Becerra, this was the dumbest, stupidest, and pointless so-called draft ever. Well, seems like Bryant was not a fan of the draft. A lot of them do end up being rather pointless. I don't see... I didn't see how this draft was any different, frankly, than any of the other drafts they've done. A lot of them end up feeling that way. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Somewhere in Sarasota, Florida, there is an 80-year-old retired man wearing the same outfit as Matt Jackson. Level 20 Facto Tomb with the $5 super chat. Good on the Rochester audience to finally say Danielson's chant in sync. But I still don't forgive them for the what chance on Dynamite. Yeah, that was pretty brutal. The Sheriff of Patties. Danielson continues to show why, to me, he is the best in-ring wrestler going today. Reminds me of what made me love Bret Hart. Realism and artistry. There are a lot of parallels between him and Bret Hart, which might be why I'm fans of both of them. They take their craft very seriously. They make it look, as you said, very realistic when they're in there. And both of them, by the way, great babyfaces in peril. They could both take a beating and come back, and that, you know, that great babyface comeback, but they make it look like they're getting the shit beaten out of them when they're in there. Boots! Thunder Rosa is muy caliente. Muy, muy caliente. See, King Bling Blah, Austin Theory got drafted before Becky Lynch. Well, that's because Becky was not eligible based on their dumb rules, so. Nick Grosso, the draft was uneventful and Rampage was good. The only thing I didn't like was Thunder Rosa eating the pin. According to Sonya Deville, B-Fab has a new name, Fab B. You know what's sad? I don't know if you're telling me a joke or if you're actually being honest and telling me the truth. I totally could see her tweeting that out. We'll see if anybody gets their name changed. What name changes do you think we might get in this draft? From like Hit Row, Top Dollar. What does Top Dollar become? Top Scent, maybe? Let's see, who else? Ashanti the Adonis just becomes Ashanti. Until the record company sends them a cease and desist, and then he just becomes the Adonis. Right? There's going to be some kind of fucking dumb name change that comes out of this. Flamethrower! Props to AEW for giving Negative One several special moments in his father's hometown this week. Why Joshua Carlos, you think the Joker entrant is Hangman? Yes, I do. Tuxedo T Servo, all in all, I like Rampage tonight, although after that opening match, the main event seemed underwhelming. That's because it was underwhelming. Level 20, I have a theory, a level 20 with the 20. Thank you for the 20 spot. I have a theory, he says. I think Owens was on the fence with AEW up until August. Once 2.0 got released and Owens floated the idea to Jericho and others at AEW to hire them, I think that might have won AEW over with him. What are your thoughts? He is a big 2.0 fan. He's a big fan of those guys. Fellow Canadians. Right, I think they're both Canadian. Is that what tipped him in the AEW camp? We don't know where his head is at right now. You know, we could find out in 2 or 3 months that he just signed a new 3-year deal with WWE. I just think it has more to do with him just not being satisfied with what he is doing right now. Just look at what he is doing. How could he be satisfied? You know he wants to be doing more. And he runs into this issue every single year. So what makes him think that this next year coming up is going to be any different? He's got to see what's going on over there with his friends, with the Bucks, with Cole. Forget 2.0. He's got to see that they're over there, they're having fun, they're doing their thing, right? They're all back together, they're working together. You don't think that he's not looking at that and jealous, thinking, man, you know, that seems like a lot of fun. Could be a new challenge for me. That's why Brian Danielson left. He says he wanted a new challenge. It was the toughest decision he said he's ever made in his life. He loved where he worked. And he still left. Kevin Owens could be in the same camp. Kevin Owens could love working for WWE and still choose to leave because he feels creatively unfulfilled. I think right now, in my opinion, not knowing him or asking him, I think he's got to be leaning in that direction, because why wouldn't he be? I think he'd be a fool not to. Ojolly Burgos. At least Bianca won. I thought that said won. I was going to say she didn't win. At least Bianca won't have to deal with Charlotte anytime soon. She just can't help but make it about herself. By the way, Vince really making Raw the BET of wrestling. You love to see it. Khan could never. Monday Night Raw now has Bianca Belair. They have Big E. Bobby Lashley for now, although that might change. Lashley and the Hurt Business. Keith Lee. Who am I missing? Is that pretty much it as far as the black stars on the brand go? I think, are those the key names? I think those are the key names on Raw. Chris Quillman with a $10 super chat. I had a lot of fun watching wrestling tonight, especially from 10 to 11, LOL. AEW continuing to elevate things. SmackDown gets Hit Row, as bittersweet as that is, and Hog is coming back, coming to New York soon. That's right, November 12th, House of Glory back at the NYC Arena in Queens. And Jerry and I get to call the main event of The Amazing Red. Back in the ring, one-on-one with the uncrowned IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Will Ospreay. And we get to be at ringside to call that main event. That's going to be a lot of fun. First, second, and third row already sold out. Only general admission. That show is going to sell out. So if you are in the area and you want to take part in House of Glory, you better buy your ticket now. But that event is going to be live on Fight TV. We are going to be broadcasting live on Fight TV for those of you who can't make it, don't live in New York. So you'll be able to tune in if you want to watch the show. Alex Jimenez, it's business time, baby. Bork Laser, the beast. Good old Bork. Tamara in the chat says, the BET of wrestling. BET is not a compliment, she says. I assumed he meant that as a compliment. Maybe he didn't. I could be wrong. Cell Dweller Fangirl, thank you for the $5. Keep Charlotte away from Sasha. Not going through that again like in 2016. Also, Becky on commentary was cringe. She is cringe now. Great going, Vince. Hey, supposedly it was her idea. So, you could blame Vince. You better blame her too. Cerulean Capuchin. Interesting name. After 2 years, who is your AEW Mount Rushmore so far? I think it's a little too early to be doing a Mount Rushmore for a company that's 2 years old, but let's see. Mount Rushmore for AEW would have to be, in no particular order, would have to be, you got to have Kenny Omega on there. You got to have Chris Jericho on there, right? The first AEW champion. Let's see. Omega, Jericho. I'm torn. I want to say Omega, Jericho, and the Bucks. Because the Bucks have had some incredible matches in AEW. But I also, I want to kind of work someone like Moxley in there. I feel like he's been champion, but he's been a big part of that brand as well. If you limit it to four, you know what? I might go with those four. I might go with Omega and the Bucks as well. That might be my Mount Rushmore. MJF, you know what? I wouldn't put MJF on there yet. He might work his way onto Mount Rushmore, but he ain't there yet. Someone said Britt. Maybe, but it took Britt a while, though, to really come into her own. I'm taking into account the full 2 years. Britt Baker, for that first year or 6 months or whatever it was she was miscast as a babyface. She just wasn't that good. So I wouldn't put her on there yet. Joshua Carlos, so is Punk done with Team Taz? What is next for him? Yeah, we don't know. I'm still waiting on CM Punk against Hook. Or at least Ricky Starks. I don't know. And I don't know if they know yet. He's been doing commentary. So, I don't know what his next program is. I think a program with MJF is inevitable. But you could tell on Dynamite on Wednesday when MJF was cutting that promo before Darby Allin came out. And people were chanting CM Punk, because Punk was sitting over there doing commentary. He quickly changed the subject. So I feel like if they were going to that next, he would have milked it. He would have made a comment about Punk and then moved on. He didn't say a word. He just, like, ignore it, no sell it, and move on, because it's not part of the plan. But at some point, Punk and MJF, maybe by that point one of them has a title. I don't know. I don't see it happening yet, but I don't know what's next for Punk. I think we have to see if the Team Taz thing is over for good. Because they didn't do anything with it this week does not mean that he is done yet. Ricky Starks has not been wrestling much. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I watched that Road to the Top show, and they covered the neck injury when he broke his neck. And when the doctor broke the news, no pun intended, when the doctor broke the news to him backstage and how upset he was. He came back. He's the FTW champion. He has wrestled. I mean, he beat Brian Cage for the belt. We haven't seen Ricky Starks hardly wrestling at all since then. So I'm not sure his neck is fully healed. I think that they're keeping him out of the ring to give his neck more time to heal. It's just my feeling. It's nothing I've heard or anything like that, but it just is very odd to me that he has not hardly wrestled at all. And that just seems to me like they're doing that on purpose to protect his neck. Maybe he's not fully healed up yet from the injury. Food Hive. Seinfeld is now on Netflix. And I was eating dinner, salmon rice bowl, while watching the Pez dispenser. I realized the WWE has no hand. LOL. That's right, Seinfeld, all, is it 9 or 10 seasons? Are now on Netflix. And I was very sad to see that Perfect Strangers was taken off of Hulu. Because every now and then I would pop on an episode before I would go to bed. And I saw the other day that it said there were only a few days left. I said, what? Why? They took off all the TGIF stuff. I think they took off Family Matters. They took off Perfect Strangers. So now I don't know if it's going to another service or now it's just gone. I was very disappointed to see that. Quintus Brown, they really called up Hit Row after BFAB performance on Tuesday. I am fearing the worst for them, shaking my head. Yeah, the BFAB matches so far have not been good. Fred Jackson became a channel member. Shout out to Fred. Salute, my friend, and welcome to the family. Captain String Cheese. We got to have a battle. We got to have a Super Chat battle here 1 week between Captain String Cheese and French Fry Slut. We got to get those two together. We got to, like, lock them in a cage or something. We may be Mets fans, but it will always be infinitely better than being an Orioles fan. Let's go, Mets. I agree. Quintus Brown, Edge against AJ Styles or WrestleMania. Book it. Well, now that you went and said that, watch, AJ will be drafted to SmackDown now. Nick Grosso, did you watch The Many Saints of Newark yet? No, I will be watching it tomorrow. I am looking forward to it. Samoan Fan 101, Vince McMahon needs Vince Russo to book for him. No, he does not. Coggies with the $10 super chat. Gonna be at Dynamite in Philly. Should I make a sound off sign? Big skulls for the House of Black and the Sala Monster connection. Well, that depends. Where are you going to be sitting? Because if you're not going to be on camera, then there's probably no point. But if you think you might actually get on camera, yeah, go for it, man. I always tell people, if you want to bring a sign to an event, like a sound off, like Sala Monster sounds off sign, the best sign to do it on, buy a piece of like neon green poster board. And then just in the brightest letters you can. Not even the brightest letters. The background is bright enough. Neon green is bright enough. You could probably write the letters in black. It's the neon green that stands out. I've had people who do signs, just like a little white sign with like the thinnest black marker. And they're like, did you see it? I go, no, I didn't see it. I could be wearing fucking bifocals and I wouldn't be able to see it. Because they're always upset if their signs don't get on TV. That's the key. I'm telling you, go with the neon green. That stands out. I mean, you could spot that from fucking 5 miles away. The Cheeseburger, 666. Brock Anderson's twin brother, Glock Anderson, is all elite. Cerulean Capuchin, between you and NFL, I am close to working nights right now. Samoan Fan, B-Fab against Nia Jax. Knowing WWE, they will book this. Oh, God, no. Don't you put that evil on me. Nia Jax is going to be off TV for a while, so I don't expect that we'll be seeing her for a while. But yes, that sounds like an awful match. That sounds like an absolutely terrible match. Amiibo. Big E against Big Evil Undertaker at WrestleMania. Such good shit. That reminds me. This Tuesday. Shout out, by the way, to Tomas, who is heading to bed. Have a good night, my friend. This Tuesday, for those of you who are interested, Netflix is dropping a movie called Escape the Undertaker, where the New Day is basically, they're going through this, like, Undertaker's haunted mansion. And it's one of these, like, choose-your-own-adventure films where you pick... Remember that movie that came out, Bandersnatch? And you controlled, like, you made choices during the movie. It's that kind of thing. Only it's with The Undertaker, and it's with all three members of The New Day. It sounds like the cheesiest shit ever, but I'm going to be watching it at some point next week. I feel like, for better or worse, it's going to make for a great review. So just remember, that drops on Netflix on Tuesday. Natural Scream Thriller. How's it going? Hope you've enjoyed SmackDown or Rampage tonight. Also, are you excited for Chucky, the series, coming to USA and Sci-Fi? Well, it won't be coming to USA and Sci-Fi for me if YouTube TV ends up dropping those channels, but if they don't, then yes, I plan on watching at least the first episode and seeing if I like it. Man, I forgot about that. So many things I have to catch up with. Oh, the only thing I feel like I'm up on right now, besides Dark Side of the Ring, is... The Walking Dead. I'm all caught up. In fact, I'm a week ahead of everybody else on The Walking Dead because I've seen next week's episode already. I'm one episode ahead of everybody else. But I'm so far behind on so many different things. There's so many things to watch. I didn't realize that Creepshow is back, season 3 on Shudder. So I watched the first episode. Michael Cuomo... it was Tony, not Gorilla. Jesse said that too about the Warrior. Jesse was always harsher to Tony. That's right. It was Tony Schiavone. It was. Tony Schiavone called that show, SummerSlam 89. You're right. Drew Johnson with the $5. All of the stuff with Matt Hardy sucks. Please, AEW, end it now. Nope. He is in a ladder match next week. FML. Turtlehead with the $5. I live a few miles from the 1 hour tees and pro wrestling tees store. Just say the word, he says. Maybe a few thousand ringer tees can fall into your hands. I'll be there on Wednesday. Hey, you know what? If you're going to be there on Wednesday, you may as well ask him. Ask him if it's possible. Ask him if you can get a Sound Off hoodie. You know, tell him that, you know, the Sound Off has a store, but there's no option for any of those things. And what do we got to do? What do we got to do to get some hoodies or Ringer shirts available? Old Dirty Sausage with the $5 Super Chat. Hey, Sala Monster, my first time donating. Do you think that we see Jay White in the Battle Royal? Get away. God damn, there's this mosquito flying around here. This mosquito, let me tell you something. This thing bit me up on the arm last night. I thought I killed this thing, and now he's flying around all my lights. He wants to know, do we see Jay White in the Battle Royal next week? Well, it's not a Battle Royal. It is a ladder match, and that is another possibility. You know, this whole Joker entrance in the match next week, if it's not Hangman, it could be Jay White, which would be very interesting if Jay White was in the match and actually won. I don't think it's him, though. I do think it'll end up being Hangman. You want a guess from me? That's my guess. But Jay White is an interesting possibility because he is going to be around. And that certainly would be a surprise entry in that match. But it's not a Battle Royal. It is a ladder match. Arn Anderson's Glock donated $1.99 here on the stream. I am not worthy of Arn Anderson's Glock. Sala Monster drafted to AEW. Really? That's news to me. I haven't signed the contract. I haven't signed anything. I'm not signing over the rights to this podcast. You're gonna have to fork over a pretty penny for that. Paul Heyman, do you think Carmella is being miscast? Her gimmick isn't good. You think the right way to use her is as the Princess of Staten Island? I don't know. The right way to use her is the opposite of what they did tonight. I just don't care. And she's not even terrible or anything like that. You know, she's had some good matches this year. But she is just in this sort of, I was going to say no man's land, but it's like no woman's land right now, where she shouldn't be challenging for the championship. But what they have her doing with Liv Morgan is so played out at this point. And maybe she should be drafted too. You know, Corey Graves is on Raw. So, you know what? I think Carmella gets drafted to Raw on Monday. If anybody could benefit from being moved over and working with new people, it's her. So, it's less the gimmick issue and more a matter of just giving her new people to work with instead of the same old stuff. By the way, the 2 days it was, right? On SmackDown before Extreme Rules. Liv Morgan lost to Zelina Vega. No Zelina Vega on the show tonight. Zelina Vega has a win over Liv Morgan that apparently is going to go unavenged. I just remembered that. Still wondering what the point of that was. Paul Heyman, thoughts on Santos Escobar getting drafted to Raw? And can you see him getting an Alberto Del Dipshit run? He's talented enough where I think he at some point will hopefully get the opportunity to be positioned pretty high up, you know, and he speaks fluent English, which I'm sure is going to help him a lot when he gets called up. But I would almost, put the North American title on him before Swerve goes to SmackDown. Swerve is the North American champion. He's got to drop that belt. And so maybe he could lose it on NXT to Escobar. And I would keep Escobar and Legado down there for a little while longer. Electra Lopez is another one who is not ready for the main roster. She just started wrestling on TV. No reason to rush all of these people onto the main roster. So if it were me, I would do a match on TV in the next few weeks between Swerve and Escobar and have him drop the belt to Escobar. And let Escobar get a run with that on NXT. The Coug 97. Solo, my Mount Rushmore of AEW is Kenny Omega, The Bucks, Phoenix, and Penta. Those five have given us money matches the past 2 years. Kenny against Phoenix and The Bucks against the Lucha Bros. Let me turn this off here. There we go. And Drew Johnson, looks like you're going to get the last word here. Solomonster Watch Squid Game. What is that? What is that? That sounds like SpongeBob SquarePants. Is that a cartoon? What is that? I don't know what that is. Squid Game? Is that an actual game? I don't know what that is. All right. I think we're all caught up on your Super Chats. So that was fun. Thank you guys for the support as you show me each and every week. As we begin here the month of October, this is the first stream for the month of October. This is Halloween month, my favorite month. I always look forward to this month, and I just have to find time to squeeze in some Halloween movies. They were showing them earlier, actually, on AMC. They were showing the first one, the second one, the fourth one, the fifth one. We'll forget the sixth one ever happened. That's the Paul Rudd one. To me, that one doesn't exist, with the man in black at the end and everything. Well, anyway. Anyway. One more look at the polls. This is the AEW poll. And this is the SmackDown poll, which is only doing marginally better than it was a little bit earlier on. Hey, we got Rooster Loving Man in the chat, one of our channel members. I didn't see you there. Rooster Loving Man. Everybody give this guy a cock. Ka-doodle-doo. It's good to have him in the chat hanging out with us tonight. Have a good night, Green. Green74, I think he's headed out. But hopefully not before we do a little something here that we call Be the Booker. Yes, indeed. Actually, oh, look at this. Lakers-Pats dropping $1.99. Tony Storm got engaged. Should have been me. Should have been all of us. But indeed, Tony Storm did get engaged to Juice Robinson, the former CJ Parker from NXT. Juice Robinson now in New Japan. They've been together for a hot minute. So that was very cool. Hear the news from the happy couple. But anyway, we do a segment here at the end of these AEW streams called Be the Booker, where I randomly book the WrestleMania main event. We have a little bit of fun with this. I've not had a lot of luck recently. Angel Silva, Halloween 3 is my second favorite of the entire series, so you are not alone. Even though it has nothing to do with Michael Myers, it is the second best of the entire series behind the original. Fight me. Fight me on that. Not you, but anybody who disagrees. Fight me. So let's see what the main event of WrestleMania this week is going to be. The other night, it was Lio Rush against Lance Storm. Let's hope we can do better this time. We have Christian Cage looking for all of his peeps. Christian Cage, one half of the WrestleMania main event, and he is going to go one-on-one with who? With Johnny Gargano, your WrestleMania main event, Christian Cage against Johnny Gargano. You know what? I'm not even going to play the fail horn, because that's a hell of a match. That is a hell of a match. You could argue whether or not it's worthy of the WrestleMania main event, but Johnny Gargano against Christian Cage? I'd like to see that. That's a good match. See? I did good tonight. I'm proud of that one. I'm proud of that one. One of these weeks, we'll have to do like a whole card. So we'll randomly book a whole bunch of matches, and maybe we'll actually map them out and see how we would actually book them. We could expand the segment, have like a super card at some point. Anyway, that's Be the Booker, and we'll bring that back again next Wednesday. We save that usually just for the AEW streams. So yeah, Tuxedo, you might see me on Monday. I'm not sure yet. I'm leaning towards going live after Raw Monday night. That would be just after 11 p.m. Eastern. Same time as tonight. Probably about 10 after 11 or so. 11:05. So I will let you guys know on Twitter and on the podcast this Sunday if I am going to be live after Raw Monday. I will definitely be live, as always, after the show on Wednesday. And again, next Friday after Rampage. We'll get back to just doing the Rampage only streams. Tonight was a hybrid stream because it was night one of the draft. And I feel like because I covered night one, we should probably cover night two as well. So you'll have a lot of activity coming to the channel, and that includes all of our channel members. I am going to get to that Q&A. We had some more questions that came in, so I'm trying not to miss anybody. And we do those, you know, every few weeks. It's a special custom video Q&A just for you guys. You know, it's the least I can do for the people who are willing to support the channel in that way. And plus, you get all of the emojis and the badges that you see here in the live chat. You get Discord access. Not everybody is aware of that. You have to request it because I have to send you a special link. But we have a Solemn Monster Discord server that is for members only. So I haven't mentioned it recently, but if you are a new channel member and you want to get in on that, send me a message. And I will have to get you a link. And then once you're in, I have to turn on posting for you. So we have that as well. That's one of the perks also of becoming a channel member. Like King Jappy Joe over here just became a Sound Off superstar. The King! Look at this. The King joining the family. Maruthi Ram just dropped a $5 super chat. Do you think it is time that AEW makes a big impact in countries like India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh? I think they will in time. I think that they're still a very young company. I think that they are slowly growing their international footprint. You know, they're doing that in the UK and in parts of Europe. And I do think, you know, obviously India is a huge market, right? Billions of people, or over a billion people, I should say, not billions. And I think, yes, I think in time they will. I think it's still very early, though. People forget, for all the success that AEW has had and all the growth so far, the company is only 2 years old, really. 2.5. Haven't been around that long. They've accomplished a lot for a young company. But a lot of the international stuff, and COVID, I think, stalled a lot of their international plans, too. So were it not for COVID, I think they probably would be a little, you know, a little farther along. But I do think in time that that will come. Lakers Pat says, I cannot wait to see how depressed you look after Raw is over. You might be surprised when I give my Raw review on the show this weekend. This was actually, I felt, one of the better Raws that I've seen in months on Monday. But we all know their lack of consistency, so you may be right. If Raw is really bad on Monday, you guys may be in for a hell of a stream. So if I go live, I think you're definitely going to want to tune in for that. Joey Perez says, for me, the worst Halloween film either is the one with Busta Rhymes or Rob Zombie's Halloween. Yeah, the Busta Rhymes one, I think, is universally panned, is probably the worst. But the Paul Rudd one is probably the second worst. Oh my God, it's Winky with the $5 super chat. Sound Off Gamer 2K19 with randomized list. Boom! What say you? Well, then I guess I better get on getting that new laptop, which I still haven't done because I don't feel like I'm going to be able to play it on this computer. But yeah, you know, for a while I did Sound Off Gamer playing WWE 2K16, I think it was. I had that loaded up on the PC. I still have it. And there's some funny videos. If you look on the channel, type in Sound Off Gamer, probably 2K16 or whatever it was. And there was one video, it should still be up, where, unless I took it down, I was playing a match. It was Mr. Perfect against Samoa Joe. And I'll never forget, the match is about to begin, and there was some glitch that happened. And Joe, I'm trying to think, it looked like there was a leg growing out of his leg, I think. It was the weirdest, like, I was completely... It's like nightmare fuel. And it completely threw me off my game, and I lost the match in like 2 minutes. Those are some fun times. I do want to resurrect Sound Off Gamer. It's just you just got to be patient with that. That is something I would like to bring back at some point, but it would have to be PC stuff. I don't have a console to hook up to the, you know, computer or anything like that. But I would like to bring back something like that. That's another shirt, by the way, up in the Pro Wrestling Tee store. It's a blue Sound of Gamer shirt, for those of you who want to pick that up. Pillow v. Pillow just became a new Sound Off superstar. Pillow v. Pillow. Joining the stream. Joining the channel. Welcome, Pillow. The Owen glitch. Yes, Judgment says the Owen glitch. Lakers Pat says, I kicked your leg out of your leg. Well, Owen was not in that game. We know Owen is going to be in the AEW console game. Owen was not in any of the 2K games. We know that. Unless you created him in the creator wrestler mode. Drew says, just Google... Well, he says goggle, but just Google Squid Game. You can thank me later. I'll have to do that. Paul Heyman says, are you watching Braun for Glory? No, I am not. King Joe says, we need a Tremors rebuy. I like Tremors. I haven't seen Tremors in a very... Tremors and Tremors 2. I haven't seen that in a very long time. Yeah, Joey says he's not a fan of Rob Zombie's dumb origin of Michael Myers. But Michael McDowell as Loomis is okay. I think you mean Malcolm. Michael McDowell is a singer, I think, isn't he? Malcolm McDowell, I think, is who you're talking about. Loop Cannon says, JTG just tweeted me. Good night. I've had JTG on the podcast twice. Tell him I said hello. The guy's huge. He's looking in the best shape I've ever seen him in his life. He looks like he's ready for another run. Thoughts on the UK SummerSlam news. I'm going to cover that on the podcast this weekend as well. I'm going to be talking about that. The Royal Rumble coming to St. Louis. Some GCW rumors as far as New York is concerned. We're going to cover a lot of stuff this Sunday. Samoan Fan dropped a $2 super chat. Watch Halloween 6, the producer's cut. It is better. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. I might have to look into that. I heard there was some kind of either producer's cut or director's cut. JJ Reyes, did you like any of the Scream movies? Yes. Big Scream fan. Scream 1, Scream 2. I saw Scream 3. I don't know if I ever saw 4. I probably saw 4. But, you know, the second one was okay. The first one is my favorite. The first one is really the main one that I like. But I think they're either rebooting it or they're bringing back the original cast, right? With Neve Campbell and David Arquette. I think Courtney Cox in January, right? I think is a new Scream movie coming out. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the Scream movies. The one thing I didn't see, I know MTV had a Scream television series. I have to find out if it's worth it for me to start watching that. If any of you have seen it, let me know if it's worth checking out. What is my favorite Friday the 13th? The third one. Part 3. Part 3D. That was the one where he got his mask, the hockey masks. That's my favorite one. Paul Heyman, did a wrestler ever want to fight you for something you said about them on the podcast? Yes. Yes. Well, you remember the whole Alex Riley fiasco. Alex Riley challenged me to come to NXT to actually do something with him, and I just ignored him. And then later on, we made up. And he was going through a rough time during that period. But yes, there have been some. Simi Valley dropping $5. Thank you, Simi. Legato to Raw. Nah, I wouldn't do that. Have I seen Malignant? No, I have not. Nick Grosso says the Scream TV show is not good. Okay, well, then I might not watch it. Beowulf says, watch Bound for Glory. I'm sure it's going to be a good show. NWA, New Japan, AEW, and AAA are all going to be on the show. Well, if I hear about anything interesting that happens on the show, I will check it out post-mortem. But I have no plans of watching it live. Dry Chicken thinks Zack Sabre Jr. is winning the G1 Climax. You know what? He's been killing it in the G1. And I heard him the other night name drop the American Dragon. He called him a dickhead. He wanted to know, where is he? Where's the American Dragon? Teasing a possible future match between Zack Sabre and Bryan Danielson. Turtlehead says he likes the Friday the 13th movie where he kills all of those kids. Ah, yes. That narrows it down quite a bit. Do I honestly believe the Mets will eventually make it back, or ever, he says, make it back to the World Series? Yes. Tamara says she's going to be at the next House of Glory show. Well, then I will see you there. You'll have to find me. I'll be the one probably walking around in my cane mask or something. Got to stay safe, you know? Play Outlast for Sound Off Gamer. You'll love it. That, just hearing the name sounds like it would give my computer a heart attack. No, I don't see Danielson doing stuff with Impact anytime soon. Much better chance he'll do stuff with New Japan. Because that's always been a goal. I've never heard him say, oh boy, I can't wait to work for Impact Wrestling. You know, I've heard him say, I want to work Japan. I want to work the Tokyo Dome. I want to work in New Japan. I want to work in Mexico. Between that and his AEW matches and his AEW responsibilities, I don't think he has any interest working for Impact. All right, so these are some good questions. And again, you know where to go. All the channel members, you know where to go if you have more you want to submit. Thank you for hanging out with me, guys. 1:30 in the morning, I'm going to let you go. Dry chicken. That might be the comment of the night. Arn Anderson more over than Carl Anderson. That is undoubtedly true. That is not just this week, but every week. Arn Anderson more over than Carl Anderson. Carl Anderson wishes he could be half as over as Arn Anderson. Have I seen Silence of the Lambs? Of course. Of course I've seen Silence of the Lambs. Still mortified by that scene where she's walking past all the jail cells and that one guy throws the you-know-what on Jodie Foster. Still grosses me out. Yeah, Joey says, I wonder if Jurassic Park counts as a horror film. To me, it does. I said the same thing about Jaws. Some people don't think Jaws is a horror film. Oh, I don't know. It's a movie about a giant fucking shark that goes around eating people. I'd call that a horror movie. You can list it under whatever genre you want. Just make sure horror is one of the genres it's listed under. Jaws is a horror movie, and Jurassic Park is a horror movie as well. I don't care what anybody says. Red Dragon, I did. Yes, I saw Red Dragon many years ago. That's the one with Ralph Fiennes, right? Ralph Fiennes is in that movie. I saw that once many years ago. Oh, have I seen the Karate Kid movies? I saw the first one, and I saw the one with the girl. Whose name? Oh, Hilary Swank. I didn't see any of the other ones. But I am wondering, do I need to see all of the Karate Kid movies before I start watching the Cobra Kai show? Because I hear great stuff about Cobra Kai. I'd like to get into Cobra Kai, but I kind of feel like unless I watch the movies, I'm not really going to be able to do that. So let me know if I must watch the movies first or if it's not completely necessary. Halloween or Friday the 13th? Halloween. Evil Dead. Believe it or not, never saw the Evil Dead movies. Nick Gage for Scream 5. Yeah, I don't think Nick Gage needs to be doing movies. Stranger Things. Yeah, of course. Stranger Things is one of my favorite shows. I'm waiting patiently for season 4. I saw the trailer. It looks great. I saw the trailer for Ozark as well. Final season coming up, season 4. Ozark is one of the best shows I've ever seen. If I had to make a top 10, Ozark might crack the top 5. With Jason Bateman and Laura Linney, it's a great show. Coming up on the final season. Watch the first 3 Karate Kid. I don't have time for that. I still haven't watched Joker. You people want me to watch the first three Karate Kid movies? Are you out of your mind? You know how busy I am? With all this work I have? Beowulf says it's more suspense or thriller. I don't know what movie you're referring to, but if you're referring to any of the ones I just mentioned, yes, it's suspense, it's thriller, and it's horror as well. It could be all three. Watch the next Karate Kid. Okay. I'm making a mental list of all these things you're telling me to watch. So this is all good shit. All right, look. Now I'm going to go for real. So thank you for joining me for tonight's super stream. Again, I will see you guys on Sunday. Episode 724 of the podcast. And then possibly live after Raw Monday night. And head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com and grab yourself an anniversary shirt. Because we're going to have a whole big celebration in the month of November. And we'll probably do an anniversary stream and do a lot of what we're doing right now. And we'll answer email questions, super chat questions, and we'll have a ball. We'll have a blast. So anyway, until then, take care, guys. And again, I will see you on Sunday for 724. Take care, guys.